The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard them were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. I am sure all of you are curious, why does the church use this gospel for the first Sunday after Christmas? Especially this year, like Christmas was yesterday and Jesus was born, now he's 12 years old. I know, you know, children grow fast, but I don't think this fast. But also I think maybe the more curious question is, why would Luke include this story in his gospel? As you know, it's the only gospel who has this story about Jesus being found in the temple. And Luke is the gospel who presents to us Mary as full of grace. She plays a big role in that story of the birth of Jesus. Yet here, no matter how you spin it, Mary and Joseph don't look like they were good parents. I mean, imagine losing your son or your child. But yet, Luke includes it, and he makes it part of the Christmas season. Not like later on, the church doesn't, you know, proclaim this gospel during the year. And I think part of your curiosity may come out from the reason is a lot of times when we think of Christmas, we're thinking that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And yes, of course, it's about the birth of Jesus, God taking on human flesh. But really, the gospel proclamations of Christmas are not about the birth of Jesus. Actually, the birth of Jesus is like one line, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, and she laid him in a manger. But the infancy narrative that we find in the gospel is about God announcing who this child is. God announcing to Mary through the archangel Gabriel. God announcing to Joseph through a dream that this child is the child, you know, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. God announcing to the shepherds, as we heard on Christmas Eve, a Savior is born for you. God announcing through a star to the Magi, to the whole world, that there's a newborn king. Christmas is about announcements, and all the gospel narratives that we hear is about God announcing who this child is. When we put it in that perspective, I think we begin to see why Luke included this as part of the infancy narratives and why the church presented it to us at Christmas. Because the main part of the gospel today is not about the parenting skills of Mary and Joseph. It's about Jesus' words when Mary asked him, why did you do this to us? And Jesus says, didn't you know I must be at my Father's house? My Father's house. God is announcing who he is. And he's announcing to a group that haven't heard it yet. The teachers of the law, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, he was in the temple, in the center authority of the religious and political world of his people. And as a 12-year-old boy, he's announcing, this is my Father's house. Now, let's move forward 30 years later. Jesus again goes back to that temple. And because he says he's the Son of God, he's condemned by the people who listened to him before, and they were astounded at his wisdom. It's all about who Jesus is, his identity. The question is, that he asked his disciples as an adult, who do you say that I am? All these infancy stories and revelations by God is to lead us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. As we heard in that second reading, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then you follow his commandments. It doesn't make sense to follow his commandments if we don't believe who he is. That's why the church gives us this story and reminds us again, right after Christmas, who is this child? He is the Son of God. Another reason for the story is, you know, the reason chosen for the Feast of the Holy Family is, when we think of the Holy Family or a holy person, what comes to your mind? What words, what synonyms come to your mind, or what images you see in your mind about being holy? I think a lot of times we think being holy means like you're perfect. Well, let's look at the Holy Family. Now, we know Mary did not commit sin, but that's not true about Joseph. We never told Joseph was also protected from actual sin or from original sin. So being holy is not about being sinless, because Joseph was not. I mean, we have no reason to believe he was. Obviously, Mary and Jesus were. What's common to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus? What do we see through the Gospels that may give us an idea why do we consider them to be holy? Well, what we know about them is they were people of prayer. They listened to God, and they said yes to what God asked them to do, right? That's what Mary did. Mary did not pray on her own. Well, I want to be the mother of God, you know, God. Let me become his mother. God spoke to Mary. God spoke to Joseph. Jesus went many times to go and pray. And even in the garden, he said, Lord, let this cup pass by me only if it is your will. They all were people of prayer who listened to God, not only talked to God and made requests, but listened and said yes. That's how we become a holy family. That's why they're a holy family. Was their life perfect? We imagine, oh, they had this perfect life, like not a single argument, no troubles, no challenges. I mean, look at them. They start by going into an irregular situation where Mary, a virgin, suddenly she's with a child, and they're told, well, that's the Son of God. Then could you imagine those 3 days while they were looking for Jesus, the conversations between Mary and Joseph? Well, I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. Why didn't you look at him? That's not why, you know, they were like any other family. They had to flee because the king wanted to kill their son. They had to move to a different country and live there and then go back to their original town. Their lives were just like our lives. But they were people of prayer who prayed, who sought God's guidance, and did what God told them to do. When he told them to go to Egypt, they went to Egypt. When he told them to go back to Nazareth, they went back to Nazareth. That's why they're holy. And I think for us, as we reflect how we can follow the example of the Holy Family, maybe as a New Year's resolution, maybe consider to start to pray as a family. Yes, maybe all of us pray individually, and that's good. But then maybe the next step for us is to pray as a family. So we can teach our children that prayer is also about listening, not just asking. That prayer is about saying yes to God's will when we hear God has something for us that he wants us to do for him. That we can model for our children, grandchildren, how to be holy. It's not about being perfect. It's not about living, you know, stressless life. It's that in the midst of all the stress, all the storms of life, we remain focused and rooted in Jesus and his will for us, as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph did. But to do this, it takes a very important virtue, and that's humility. You know, this interaction between Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is really filled with humility. The words of Jesus, the words of Mary, maybe they're a little, you know, kind of judgmental. You know, why are you looking for me? Okay, well, that's not the best way to answer your parents. Or why did you do this for us? But they listen to one another. They don't get into an argument. They're not pointing finger. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. Didn't we tell you to stay with us? They listen to one another. Jesus, the Son of God, who said, I'm in my Father's house. He goes with them back to Nazareth, obedient to them. And Mary and Joseph take what he said, and they reflect on it in their hearts. They know that they're part of this great mystery of what God has chosen them to do, but they're all trying to figure it out. Jesus grew in wisdom and understanding. He did say, well, you know, I'm the Son of God. I know it all. What do you know, Mom and Dad? No, they said, hey, God gave you to us. You do what we tell you. They listened to one another. They didn't resolve anything, but they listened with respect and kept reflecting, what can we learn from this? Mary and Joseph had to learn more and more about the role of Jesus. And Jesus had to figure out how can he be their son, and yet the Son of God, and God chose something for him to do that only he can do. I think we need a lot of that humility in today's world. We need to learn to listen to one another and appreciate that all of us need to grow in wisdom and understanding. No one has all the wisdom and understanding that the world needs. We need to learn how to live in tension when we can't find the solutions or there's no easy answers. Whether as individual families or as a church, God's holy family. If we want to be holy, we need to be respect one another, listen to one another, and live together in this tension of not finding the answers yet to the questions we are asking. Jesus listened to the teachers. He asked questions. He didn't just, you know, pontificate to them, well, I'm the Son of God, you listen to me. He grew in wisdom and understanding. And if Jesus needed to grow in wisdom and understanding, I think you and I need to do the same if we want to be holy. The last thing about the Feast of the Holy Family is, you know, Jesus was not like lost. He didn't get distracted and the caravan left and left him behind. He did not return with them. Jesus, at the age of 12, which, you know, in the Jewish faith, that's an age of becoming an adult, close to bar mitzvah age, realized that he belongs more than to his biological family, in a way, you know, Mary and his legal father, Joseph, that he belonged to a larger family, to God's family, that God had a purpose for him to go beyond being a carpenter's son. And he was discovering what this role is and how can he fulfill it and live it. Because again, he wants to be obedient to his Heavenly Father. Each one of us is born also in God's holy family at baptism. We don't only belong to our biological parents, our biological family, but all of us are part of this holy family, our parish here and the wide universal church. And all of us, like Jesus, have a perfect, specific reason, purpose, mission in life that God wants us to do so we can fulfill his plan of salvation, just like he had for Jesus. We're not called to be saviors. Jesus is the savior. But each one of us, you and I, have a specific plan, role to play. It's like parts of a jigsaw puzzle. Each one of us has to fit in its place for that puzzle to be complete. Do we see ourselves that we go beyond our biological families, our human situation here? Do we pray about asking God to reveal to us what is the role that he has for us? How we can bring his salvation to all people? A lot of times we limit ourselves to this world, and God has bigger plans for us. We are part of God's family. We are gathered today in God's house. You and I are God's children. How much time and effort do we give of our second family, our spiritual family that we belong to? As we begin or prepare to begin a new year, I encourage you to take a few minutes during this week, maybe a few minutes every day, and reflect on how can you grow personally in holiness, and to reflect on what's your role as part of Holy Family, our parish here. Because God, again, gave us this family as part of the universal church. It's easier to start small than think, what's my role in the universal church? That might be hard to get to right away. Start looking outside your biological family, your own families, your work, your school, all of the other things you're involved in. As part of this holy family at South Pasadena, what is God calling you to do? What's God's plan for you? That's how we become holy.